You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God that was slain. It's good to be back here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. Last time we stopped at Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. We stopped at verse 30, so we'll continue from there this week. The word said, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So that's a question Jesus was asking his disciples. Will he not much more clothe you? He takes care of the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown out and burned. Will he not much more take care of you, who is of more value than the grass of the field? O you, Jesus said, of little faith. Where is our faith today? We pray that our faith will be in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are faithful and true. You are righteous. You are holy. You are wonderful to us. And we bless you this evening. We praise you. From the rising of the sun to the going down, your great name must be praised. For there is no name like the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for this privilege to come, O God, to declare your word, O God, on the radio waves. We pray in the name of Jesus that those who hear, O God, will purpose in their hearts, O God Almighty, to obey your word. We pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, that you will illuminate your word to us, that we will walk in the light of your word. We will not walk in darkness, O God, but we will walk in the light of your word. For your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. O great God, because of your word we will not stumble, but we will walk in honor of your great name. So I thank you again today for this privilege to come, O God, to teach your people. Empower me to teach effectively, O God, so that your great name will be glorified. Father, I thank you. I give you glory, honor, and praise, O God. For you alone are worthy of praise and glory and honor. Oh God, as I look to you and give thanks, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So as we continue in the gospel writings of Matthew, we are now, as I said before, in chapter 6. We will be completing chapter 6 and going on to chapter 7. But we are going through the whole book of Matthew, the gospel writings of Matthew. We know that Matthew wrote to the Jewish people, but the writings are for us also today. We can apply all this truth to our lives and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we see where Jesus reminds us not to worry, not to worry. And many times worry comes upon God's people. It steals our joy. It steals our peace. It steals our contentment. And we are called, people of God, not to allow worry to consume us, but let us put our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, "O you of little faith," in verse 30. People of God, we want to have that active faith in Christ Jesus. Believe his word, trust him, and knowing that God, our Father, just as how he takes care of the grass of the field, which is only for a little time. Today it's green, tomorrow it's dry and thrown into the fire, as the word said in verse 30. But remember, he will much more take care of us. He will clothe us. He will take care of us. Whatever our needs are, he will meet it. But let us continue to exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31 of Matthew 6. "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? because of who our Father is, the good, good Father who takes care of all the needs of his children. Jesus was saying, do not worry or become anxious about food or drink or clothing. Do not be worried, people of God, about our daily needs. God will take care of us. He is our caretaker. So we have to come to that place of understanding who our Father is. He is our good, good Father. And he takes care of his children. He never abandons us, people of God. He never neglects us. He always takes care of his children. Look at verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So the unbelievers, the unsaved, they are seeking after all these material things, people of God. But we have to remember, as children of God, our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. He knows that we need all these things. And he's calling us, people of God, in a relationship with him. So when we are in a relationship with him, we come to him. We worship him for who he is. We confess our sins. We tell him our petition. So we bring our petitions to him. Lord, I need this. He already knows that you need it. But he's calling us into that deep relationship where we will be on speaking terms. We'll be in a relationship. He knows, but he doesn't just give us like that. He wants us to come to him and to tell him our needs, even though he already knows what we need. So he knows that we have need of all these things. But this is what the unsaved go after. This is what they seek after. They spend all their time seeking after material things, people of God. But we must remember the quality time that we need to spend with our Heavenly Father. He already knows what we need, but he's calling us to come to him and to tell him anyway. So that is relationship. We come to him, we talk to him, we adore him for who he is, and we tell him our troubles. Look at verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek first, Jesus continues to teach, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All the material things that we are craving after and seeking after, people of God. Jesus said we must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The word of God is truth. We must believe what Jesus said. So we should let our priority be to seek the Lord, to seek God's kingdom, to seek the manifestation of God's kingdom in our lives, the rulership of Christ in every area of our lives, and his righteous standard being upheld. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first that spiritual realm where Christ is ruling in our every department of our lives. Christ is ruling. People of God, we don't want to just have Christ in our spiritual life. But what about our emotional life? Is Christ there? Our physical life, is Christ in it? Is Christ in every area of our lives? Is Christ in the lives of our family, our children, our spouses? We want Christ to rule in every area of our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the rulership of Christ and his righteousness. And all the things that we so crave for, all the material things that we so crave for, will be added. The Bible said, shall be added. So there's no doubt about it. It shall be added unto us. The promise is that, people of God, all the things that we need will be given to us. Do we believe? Do we believe? We need to put our faith in the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Do we believe God's word today? God is calling us, people of God, to believe his words, to hold firmly to his word. And no matter what comes, no matter what we are seeing in front of us, we will still believe that God is our caretaker. He takes care of us, but he wants us to seek him first, to put him first in everything, to allow him to have preeminence in our lives, to be the head of all things in our lives. And that's where he's calling us, children of God. But we have to hear this call and decide on purpose in our hearts to obey what God says. Seek first the kingdom of God, the rulership of God in our lives, and his righteousness, his righteous standard, and everything else that we desire, every material things, all our daily needs will be met. The word of God says so, and it is so, people of God. Look at verse 34, the last verse in Matthew chapter 6. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What was Jesus saying here? Do not be anxious about tomorrow and about what it will bring. For each day that is given to us will take care of its own troubles. So many times people have got our major problem is thinking of what is going to happen in the future. You are here today, you haven't seen tomorrow. So why are we anxious about tomorrow? Why are we worried about tomorrow? What tomorrow will bring? Jesus was just giving us the right perspective to have and the right way to approach our life. Daily living, people of God. Daily living. Not taking tomorrow and putting on our head today and causing so much worry and so much anxiety and so much stress in our lives. God is calling us to live one day at a time. One day at a time, and knowing that he will take care of our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what the model prayer says. Give us this day our daily bread. It didn't say give us tomorrow's bread. People of God, we must understand this and live one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. The anxiety of tomorrow, people of God, will deplete our joy for today. Because we are anxious about tomorrow, we will not have any joy in our lives today. So we are called, people of God, to place every day of our lives in the hands of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our caretaker. He takes care of everything that concerns us. So let us not be anxious about tomorrow and what it will bring. For each day that is given to us will take care of its own troubles. When tomorrow comes, it will take care of its own troubles. People of God, I remember sometimes ago the Lord put these words in my heart. It says, put the fear of the unknown in the hands of the one who knows and holds the unknown. Those are the words of the Lord as he gave to me. He said, put the fear of the unknown into the hands of the one who knows and holds the unknown. And many times, people of God, the root of all of this is fear. Fear of the unknown. I don't know about tomorrow, so I'm fearful of what it will bring. But when we put those fears into the hands of God, our Creator, our Savior, our Master, our King, our Father, who knows everything. He knows the future, people of God, and holds the future. He holds everything in his hands. Do we believe that today? That God holds everything in his hands. He holds our today. He holds our tomorrow. He is God of the past, the present, and the future. He is God. He knows everything. And he holds everything in his hands. Everything consists by him. The word tells us in Colossians 1:17, and he's before all things, and in him all things consist. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. We are held together in Christ Jesus, people of God. He's holding everything together. He holds our tomorrow. He holds our today. He holds the future. So why are we so anxious? Why are we so worried? Why are we so cast down? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? The psalmist cry out in Psalm 42, hope in God. People of God, we're called to put our hope in Jesus Christ because he is our living hope. Where else can we go but to the Lord? The world has no hope, but we have hope. So why are we so anxious? The word of God said, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, to make our request known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. People of God, we are called to put our trust in Jesus Christ, to believe his word, to hold firmly to what he says. And no matter what we see around us, we still hold on to God's word. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight will fool us. Sight will cause us to get anxious. Because what we are seeing, people of God, will frighten us. But remember the word of God. God promises that he will never leave nor forsake us. He promises that he will not leave us comfortless, but he will come to us. And he has come to us, people of God. He has come to us. His spirit dwells in us and with us. So why are we alarmed? Why are we so afraid? Why are we behaving like the world who has no hope? Our hope is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So let us go forth, remembering not to worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us allow each day to take care of its own trouble. Trust in Jesus that he will see us through, that he will intervene on our behalf. People of God, he is the Almighty God. He can do all things. So where is your trust today? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in your material wealth? Are you trusting in people? Who are you trusting? We pray today that your faith will be, your trust will be in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hold firmly to the word of God and walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. So we have come to the end of Matthew chapter 6. And now we are going on to Matthew chapter 7, people of God. And we pray that this journey through the gospel writings of Matthew will transform us. So we go on to Matthew chapter 7. And Matthew chapter 7 from the New King James Version, reading from verse 1. The word of God says, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus continued his sayings or his sermon on the mount. So Jesus was saying, judge not that you be not judged. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, condemn not that you be not condemned. Don't be quick to condemn others. Don't be quick to express opinion against someone else. People of God, don't be quick to condemn. Remember, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. His first coming, he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So don't, Jesus was saying, judge not that you be not judged. So we see in Romans 8:34, the word said, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So the question was asked, who is he that condemns? Not one of us are in a state to condemn others. Because it is who? It is Christ who died. Christ is the one who died for us. And remember, people of God, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So Christ is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He is our great high priest, people of God. And the word said he ever live to make intercession for us. So he's interceding for us. In our feeble frame, we can run to him and cry to him. And he intercedes on our behalf. Look on what the word said in James 4, 11 and 12. The word said, do not speak evil of one another. So do not judge one another. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speak evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. James was making it clear here. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Let us understand that. There is one lawgiver. God Almighty, Jesus Christ, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? James asks. Who are you to judge another? So that's why Jesus was saying, judge not that you be not judged. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Well, many times we find it so easy and so satisfying to judge others and to condemn others. But Jesus is saying, it's not supposed to be. Judge not that you be not judged. Look on verse 2, people of God, of Matthew chapter 7. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So the same standard that you use to evaluate others, people of God, the same shall be used on you. That same standard that you use to evaluate others, it will be used on you. Look on verse 3 of Matthew 7. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? People of God, these are strong words used by Jesus. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? So Jesus was saying that we should not be using our time to be evaluating others who might have a lesser fault than us, but to turn the spotlight on ourselves and look at the greater fault that we have. It is easier, people of God, to look at the fault of others and point it out than to search ourselves and find our faults and deal with them. And many times that's what we do. We choose the easier way out, the easier route of just now being inspectors where they're ready to be evaluating everyone else, but not spending that time to look into our lives and to see, people of God, the sins and the weight and the evil that is in us and ask God to forgive us. But instead of doing that, we are quick to point fingers at others, taking the spotlight off ourselves, making it appear that we are so holy, we are so righteous, we are so true. But people of God, remember, our sins will find us out. So let us be careful and not to be quick to evaluate others who might have a lesser fault than us. But let us look into ourselves and see, Jesus said, you do not even consider the plank that is in your own eyes, that great fault that you have. But that little fault that that brother has, you're quick to point it out. People of God, let us ask the Lord to help us to search our hearts and to see if there is any wicked ways in us and to cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Look at Matthew 7 verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? And look, Jesus said, look, a plank is in your own eye. So Jesus was saying that those with the bigger fault or problems are usually quick to want to point out and help the person with a lesser fault or problem. Look at verse 5, what Jesus called this person. He said, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Jesus called this fault finder a hypocrite. Hypocrite means two-faced. He's an actor, not real. So Jesus said this person should first deal with his or her problem before they can be in a position to help another brother to solve his problem. And many times, people of God, we want to point out people's sins and shortcomings. But we first have to introspect, ask the Lord to turn the spotlight on us, search our hearts, and see if there be any wicked ways in us, and cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can really be in a position to help others who are falling along the way. But we, if we are also people of God, so burdened down with the weight and sins of this world, then we will not be in a position to help others. So we have to come to that place of understanding what the Lord is saying to us today. And let us each ask the Lord to search our hearts. Help us, Lord, so that we can truly examine ourselves and to see if we are truly in the faith. For many times when we find ourselves criticizing so much, we have left the Lord. We have left our first love. We are not in a relationship with Jesus. So he's calling us, people of God, to be who he called us to be and not to be hypocritical, but to be real, because Jesus sees and knows everything. The word tells us that we stand naked before him. So he knows our hearts, our thoughts, and our intention, and we want to be real before him. God bless you all. We'll stop here this evening, and we will continue in verse 6 next week. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you for reminding us, oh God, to take that introspection, to see, oh God, Almighty Lord, where we have come short, oh God, and to ask you to fill us up, oh God, to restore us, oh God, the joy of our salvation. Father, we just thank you right now that you're calling us to change, oh God, and we pray that as we yield to you, oh God, we will see the transformation in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we bless you, we honor, and we give you glory as we pray and give you thanks. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend and continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to you all. Amen and amen.
Lord is love. Reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday.